For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty?
Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Punch Drunk Sports. Punch Drunk Sports is live here in your face, in your ears. We're talking sports. We're talking pop culture. We're talking everything. We're talking about getting headaches after beating off. That's what we're talking about. Guys, good to be back. Sorry I missed last week. I was in a deep, dark depression. Really contemplating blowing my brains out. But I'm back. Back in the New York mood. I'm back. Joining me in studio is my good friend Jason Tebow.
Suck it.
And Frank the Mexican.
Hey.
Who didn't get deported. Last week we thought you died and he got deported.
Oh, man.
And we were wrong about both.
Oh, man. But now we're all here loving it. And good to be back, man. Very excited. Punch Drunk Sports. We got some sponsors. We got to give some shout-outs. And then we're going to get into a fun, wacky week of sports. Obviously, we love our good friends at BetDSI for all your betting needs. Go to BetDSI.com. Use Punch Drunk. Get $10 betting cash. Make that money. I know a lot of people made a lot of money off of Holmes, and a lot of people lost a lot of money off of Canelo Alvarez. We'll get into that.
Who would have bet against him?
There were a lot of people who thought...
he was a favorite.
Big-time favorite.
Cotto was a favorite.
What?
Cotto was the favorite in the fight.
No. Not when I went. I was in Vegas and I went to go put some money on Alvarez.
Really?
And Alvarez was a 3-1 favorite.
He should have been. Cotto got $15 million for that fight. Alvarez got 5.
Yeah.
Also surprised me.
Oh, really?
A little bit. Surprised me. I mean, I just think he's a bigger name. I think, you know, he's got to deal with HBO. I think he probably sells more tickets.
Cotto?
Yeah, sells more tickets than Cotto. But he got 5. Cotto got 15.
That's a great question, dude. That's a great question. I wish we had one of our boxing guys that could call in real quick and talk about that. Then we also got Caveman Coffee. CavemanCoffee.com. Go to CavemanCoffee.com. Use Punch Drunk Sports. Get your 10% off all your coffee needs. I know you guys are loving that Fighter and a Kid coffee. Help out Punch Drunk Sports. We're the originals. We love them, though. We love them.
No, we don't.
And finally, go.
We
it's
do not
Black
love them
Friday,
all.
Nigga. Black Friday. Come on down. Go to punchdrunksports.com. Use our Amazon links and get that cheddar. And that's it.
Real quick, I just want to, you know, like we've watched like whatever that show is on ESPN, and then they at the end of it, they go to the guy, and then he goes, well, here's some mistakes you made on that last, you know what I mean? I'm going to be a little devil's advocate right now, and I'm going to do that and correct one mistake that you made. We do not love Fighter and the Kid.
I love Fighter and the Kid.
No, we don't. We want to fight you fucking pricks, big time. Both you guys can suck it. We're sick of you guys driving around in your gold-plated Ferraris.
I don't even know. I saw Brian Callen the other day.
You know what? You know what I used as a blanket last night? A pile of leaves. I had a pile of leaves for a blanket.
Oh, let's give Fighter and the Kid another file. Oh man, I hope they're doing all right financially. Let's use their code.
Oh man, that is gold.
Blankets aren't cheap. They're like $5.
That's so funny, dude. That's great.
Fuck them.
Hey, Jason Tebow, where are you gonna be?
Well, you can catch me on the corner of Sycamore and Whippoorwill, sleeping under a ditch until somebody, that's every night of the week, just in case you're wondering, you can find me there every night of the week, sleeping in a ditch because no one uses our code, which is naturally Punch Drunk Sports, but everybody's using give us more money, we're rich, and suck my cock code for Fighter and the Kid. So if you want to see me sleep in a fucking ditch, come by Whippoorwill and Gumption, or whatever street I said.
Though the opinions expressed by Jason Tebow are those of Jason Tebow and Jason Tebow only.
And Ari Shaffir, and Tate Fletcher, and Joe Rogan, and Holly Holm, all of our new co-hosts. They're challenging Fighter and the Kid to a fucking street fight. And you know what? Come on down to my home turf on Gumption and Whippoorwill, and you can fight where I sleep.
You can. That needs to be a t-shirt. Fight where I sleep.
You can fight where I sleep.
And I will also be at the Comedy Store tomorrow night showcasing to finally get my name on the wall.
Guys, if you are in Los Angeles, the city of angels, I cannot ask as a personal favor for all the free content we've given you for, what, 4 years now. I am asking you.
It has
you,
been 4 years, hasn't it?
I am asking you, as friends, as partners in crime, as lovers of sports and debauchery and buttholes and just loving and fighting where you sleep, listen, come to the Comedy Store tomorrow night. Help out your boy Jason Tebow. Give him, hang out in the crowd, support anything that might smell like a punchline. Go Def Jam Crazy.
There won't be much, but there will be at least one.
There'll be punchlines.
Are you showcasing tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Holy shit, who else is?
Singleton.
Who?
Sarah, Jessica Michelle Singleton.
Okay, I like her.
Kyle Ray and...
I like him a lot.
Kyle Ray's going again? That's cool.
Kyle Ray and Jeremiah Watkins.
That's great.
I thought Jeremiah Watkins just had one.
It's all of the people that were on the first showcase that didn't get passed and myself.
Well, I hope they all get passed.
All of
me
them?
Me too. I would like.
Why not?
That's the sad truth. It can only be a few.
Why? Why can it only be a few? Why can't all of them get passed?
Because then that's just less spots that everyone else is going to have.
Well, it's going to be less spots anyway.
I mean, you get passed,
anyway.
You're not going to get any. It's not, you know.
It's going to be less spots anyways.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if I get passed, I fully in.
I love that they added that second show on Friday and Saturday.
That helps, too. And you know what? Yeah. And the numbers on it are good, too.
Yeah, they are great.
Like there's 15
people
in the
room. Doing stuff at 7:30.
It's great.
You know, I always bitch about my late spots, but you know what? There's only a couple people who can do those late spots.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky those guys.
Dude, when I was in Chicago calling avails to all the clubs that were there, every show had two shows.
Yeah.
You have an early show, like how it is in La Jolla and shit, but you know, they're like Wednesday,
Thursday,
Friday.
Well, I mean,
Wednesday,
like a normal OR show would go from like 9 to 2 in the morning, so you don't need two shows because that's like four shows.
Right, right, right.
But I mean, on Friday, Saturday.
To still go from like, you know, 10 on and have a 7:30 show, it's just more spots for comics.
I'm glad that they
and more money for them.
Well, that opens 10 to 12 spots.
Dude, last weekend they had 7 shows.
They should.
Between all three rooms.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Now they need to cultivate the belly room show to get going.
Two in the main room, two in the OR, and three upstairs.
If they start running their own, like, smaller, not like smaller room shows, but it's like you have like two or three headliners, and then you put like the, like, development spots, you know what I mean?
Yeah, door guys and new regulars.
Smaller shows.
In the main, in the belly room, getting it going. So, guys, seriously, this Wednesday night, tomorrow night, we're going to get this out today. We're going to put a bunch of tweets out. Get to the Comedy Store if you can. I'm going to be I won't be there because I'm out of town, but go and support your boy Teeb. Let's get him I know you're going to be a regular, dude. I think it's a formality, but that's just me.
Yeah, I do too. You know, but I still want to do good.
Yes, really, of course.
And it'll be fun.
I think everybody will be the excitement that everybody will feel when you get what you deserved a long time ago.
Exactly.
Yeah,
literally have to go up there, drop an M bomb, talk about how the Holocaust never really happened,
and how you want to
rape Morrissey. You'd literally have to do rape Morrissey jokes.
Let me change.
So
set
just
list.
Basically your regular set.
Yeah.
Just don't do what I normally talk about.
So that's good. And then where are you going to be from?
Oh, well, commenting on what you said about doing those late night spots. As a door guy watching you guys, I feel like that's where I learn the most.
Yeah. I mean, like, dude, it's like I'm going to be honest with you. I have no desire to go before 11. There's no desire. I think there's a certain type of comedy that needs to go up there that isn't what I like doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Those late night spots watching you, I've watched you go up and I've watched the crowd be tired and then I've watched you change them and I've seen you in tons of different situations, you know what I mean? So it's like every time I see you guys go up and do
those
that,
are the education
spots.
Yeah,
man.
Those are the education spots. You know, I mean, you do get sad where you're like, oh, man, there's going to be so many new people. Am I going to get spots? But, you know, I've been a regular there for 15 years, for whatever that's worth. And you know what else is funny? It's like, you know, it's like, oh, all these new guys. I'm a bad motherfucker. And, you know, it takes, you know, coming from a guy who literally wanted to kill himself less. And I wish I was joking about that. I like, you know, it's just like, it's just, you got to have a little faith in your skills, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah, man, there's going to be new people coming through, but nobody's. I just love what I do, and I do it different. So come out Saturday, come out Wednesday, support your boy Teeb. Where are you going to be?
Monday, hosting potluck.
Monday, hosting potluck. I cannot believe that the roast battle isn't a television show yet. It just I just keep hearing what gets made in the television shows, and I'm like, why wouldn't you even just give it a pilot?
I trust you, man. I know. I feel the same exact way.
Why wouldn't you pull Battle and fucking Moses together? Go, listen, assholes, and I'm talking to one of you, not both of you. Just agree on this and let's make it into a pilot.
Yeah.
Because something only has heat for so long.
Yeah. But I think we're still growing and we're still figuring it out. Like, I don't know, man. I think that eventually if we do get a TV show, that'd be great. But it's also like it's a huge team effort. Like it's the wave. It's all of writers. It's just tons of things that go into getting that together. You
is
know?
There a new rule in Hollywood that Jeremiah Watkins must be in your show to have a show?
No, no. That is part of the rule, but it's Jeremiah Watkins and or Dean Del Rey.
One Dean of Del those Rey two have lot, to be. Not to the. There is not a poster out there of a show that does not have Jeremiah Watkins. In
I
it.
Mean, or Dean. If one isn't on there, the other one is.
Roast battles, the goddamn comedy jam,
Midnight snack. Yeah, man, you can't tell me that kid's not putting in work.
No, hey, dude.
Oh,
I respect it.
He's also doing tons of improv shows too. Still,
no, I think he's great, man. I like him a lot. I think he's a really good guy, and I'm happy for him. Here are my dates. I got some tomorrow night, Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. When you're listening to this, I will be at the Madhouse doing Comedy Juice with my good friends David Deary and Chelsea Skidmore.
Yeah.
And then Friday night, I will be doing Black Friday White Comics at Flycatcher.com. I mean, at the Flycatcher. Just go to theflycatchertucson.com. Tickets are available there. And then super excited. Saturday night, I'm back in Phoenix. I want to start doing this on a regular basis, too. I am going to be doing the Taffy Room at Stand Up Scottsdale. And it's going to be comedy chaos. And it's going to be me, my buddy Kevin Elliott, and a couple other local comics. Two shows, 8 and 10 p.m. I have a really good feeling they're going to sell out. So grab your tickets now. It's going to be a great show. I'm super excited. And life is good. So life is good today. Talk to me tomorrow. So those are my dates out of the gates. And
let me plug one more thing, actually, for okay. Good buddy of the show. One thing, which coming out today, you can listen to the occasionally awesome podcast with our friends Kevin Christie and Nick Youssef. I'm on the new episode, just recorded last week, and it's pretty funny. But most importantly, I would like to plug our good friend Nick Youssef's show coming up because he's recording his new album at the San Francisco Punchline. And he asked that I please mention that to everybody.
When is it?
December 16th through 19th.
I like it.
And the 18th and 19th of that show at the San Francisco Punchline, he'll be recording his album. So if you want to be a part of Nick's new album, you can hear yourself laughing in the audience the week before Christmas if you're in the San Francisco area. December 16th through the 19th, Nick will be at the Punchline. And on the 18th and 19th, he will be recording his new album there. And you could be a part of that. So there you go.
So fun. That was fun. We paid the bills. We got out. Come out and hang out. A lot of stuff to talk about. I know I wasn't here for the Holly Holmes, Ronda Rousey discussion. I'm sure it was fun and lively.
Pretty much the whole 2 hours. That's all we talked about.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Talked a little NFL, but for the most part, that's all we talked about. And pretty much getting Ari to admit, yes, that was an exciting female fight. Yes, perhaps female fighting is slowly but surely getting exciting.
Well, I feel like this is the first time. I know you guys got into it. And you guys are like, oh, here we're going to go again. We'll get into everything else. I want to talk about Warriors. I want to talk about a bunch of shit. But I'm going to tell you, man, I think Holly Holmes is the first of the, like, new wave female MMA fighters that fight like men, you know, instead of having girls doing like Taibo and shit like that.
Yeah, dude, she was fucking built.
Dude,
I mean, she's just a boxer.
And you know what else is funny about her? She's starting to it's been what, a week now or 2 weeks? A week and a half. Week and a half
since the fight? Yeah, a week and a 2 days.
Today's the last day of her international tour of press of the fight. Dude, from the day she started to now, they've started glamming her up. They've been shining her up. You know what I'm saying? Because she's pretty hot if you glamour her up. Like, she was on ESPN today. Holly Holmes is pretty hot. She's actually, and I know that it's very weird because, you know, oh, she's a female fighter. She has to be bangable. I don't agree with that. It just helps.
Why is that possible? Why? Why? Why does she have to be bangable? You mean to make her marketable, she has to be hot?
No, I always felt like there was this notion that she has to, that a female athlete has to be hot to be popular. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I do think it like, do you guys think John Jones or George St. Pierre would be popular if they weren't really good-looking guys? Like, you don't think the UFC wants super shredded, good-looking guys who are built like fucking gay porn stars up there fucking doing that? You know, it's like women like to look at shredded guys. Guys like to look at hot chicks. It's just like there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think it's I personally don't know. Like, Tony Hinchcliffe thinks Joanna Violence is super hot. I haven't seen her outside of when she's walking to the cage and fighting. I love her as a fighter. I have no problem with saying she's one of my top five fighters in the UFC. That I enjoy. Like, if she's fighting, I'm watching the fight.
Who, Joanna Champion?
Yeah.
Goreska Fustigizgavs.
Like, I think I would watch her. If she's on the bill, I'm going to find a way to watch that fight because it's nonstop fight.
Wait, he thinks she's sexy?
No. Tony Hinchcliffe thinks she's sexy.
Well, I mean, Tony Hinchcliffe also dated Little Esther and whatever the rat he's dating now, too. So,
oh, Jesus, dude.
I don't trust his taste in women so much so.
God, what'd that girl do to you?
I just watched her set last night. Wow.
So I don't think so. I just think women's MMA is in a good... I think, like, you're starting to see the evolution. And, dude, the thing about this, dude, you know, Joe Rogan said that Holly Holmes is a once in a ever... I mean, excuse me, that Ronda Rousey was once and ever, and I don't want to use those. Would you say those are superlatives? Am I using the word wrong there? Probably. I'll get hammered on Twitter. I don't want to jump to that, but the notion that a championship-level boxer can win an MMA title will never happen in men's MMA. Never.
Well, it's just too advanced of a sport.
Right, but the window to open...
But there was a time when that would happen. There was a time where just straight up punchers were
maybe
champs
UFC
for a while.
One or two or that stuff.
Well, I mean, even if you go back to like early Chuck Liddell days, even like, you know, post Pride era, but early, you know, I mean, Chuck Liddell's not a boxer, but, you know, he wasn't getting people in triangles. You know, right. What I mean, he was a striker. He won by a knockout or he got knocked out.
No, I totally agree with that.
That era, I think, is done too. Except for maybe in heavyweight, where you always are going to have a big striker.
I know this is crazy, dude.
A big striker.
I mean, I think it's getting to the point where everybody has a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Everybody's a good wrestler, and it's getting back to dirty boxing. Look at all the great fighters. I mean, John Jones is an amazing grounder, has an amazing ground game. Everything he does is striking.
Yeah.
It's getting to the point where, like...
Well, same thing. You can argue the same thing with McGregor as well.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, he's going to win 90% of his fights by striking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think Holly Holmes is such an interesting thing because she just... I mean, never seen an elite...
Ronda Rousey's had, what, 13 fights in her life? 15 fights in her life?
Yeah.
I'll check him.
6 or 7 of them, title defenses.
Yeah.
And this chick had... She was 34-2 as a boxer.
Yeah.
9-0 as an MMA fighter, you know, 3-0 in the UFC or whatever the fuck it is. It's like, she's got 30 more fights than Ronda Rousey, and 35 of those fights are boxing. And Ronda Rousey tried to box a boxer.
Yeah.
She tried to stand in front of a striker.
Dude, that's the thing is, like, she got, you could tell it was like people were like, she's a boxer. She's like, no, I can stand up. I can do that. She didn't
do
it.
She had an ego. She bought into what she said. You know what I was thinking about?
She didn't do the Ronda, you know what I mean? She didn't take it down.
Do the Ronda.
I mean, she got, yeah. She got, it's like, stupid.
So, you know what's interesting about that weekend of the fights? Just think about what the world was like before that weekend. I mean, on a ton of levels versus after that weekend. The Ronda Rousey fight shook sports. Shook sports. Then you had the Paris bombing. Shook international. Then you had Charlie Sheen coming out of his HIV. An insane weekend, dude. An insane weekend. Like, shit was like a different world after that.
Yeah, Ronda had 15 fights. What's her name? Had like 30.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think she was 34-2 as a boxer, maybe. And then I think 5 or 6 fights in whatever the fuck she was in before. What was she in before?
Home trick.
What do you mean? What was her record?
Before she was in the UFC, what was she in? What did she fight in?
Okay, I keep getting yelled at. It's home.
Home.
Yeah, not Holmes.
Oh, I didn't even notice you were saying that.
Sorry, yeah, it's the Hispanic accent.
I'm just getting yelled at on Twitter already. Okay, gotcha.
What was she in before?
What do you mean?
Before you checked Twitter. She was in something before
Bellator
UFC.
MMA.
Oh, Bellator,
fighting,
that's right. Thank you.
Ultimate
no,
fighting.
That's got it. Yeah, Bellator is what I was thinking of.
Home?
I didn't know she was in Bellator and Invictus or whatever.
No, I thought she was in Invictus. And then she was in like there was a like R. I don't know. I'm sure. I don't know. But yeah, dude, crazy times, dude.
Jesus.
You see the picture of John Jones? Can you look up John Jones, Jack?
Oh, now?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Any chance he pisses hot?
Nope.
I don't know. I think that would be pretty stupid of him. I think it's always, and Rogan always says this too, and so does Tate, that it's like you get so shredded that it really hurts your game because all of those muscles need so much oxygen.
Yeah.
I'm more of a fan of him being toned and walking and fighting at like walk around weight.
I wonder if he's actually going to walk it because you know that look comes from him having nothing to do for 8 months.
Yeah. I mean, it's statistically proven that you know when black people go to prison. No, I'm just kidding.
So racist. So
racist. Yeah, he went to jail for like. That's so funny. It's like he gets like a DUI. Goes to jail just for the weekend, you know, like a typical like DUI jail time, and comes out ripped like that.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
He looks like he
could
just
could you imagine
got...
having that body, though? Yeah. I would not own a shirt. I would own, here's what my clothing would be if I had a body like John Jones right there. I would wear a condom and maybe a baseball hat all the time. Maybe not the hat. Actually, maybe not the condom, just the hat. You know what I mean?
Who's going to tell you no? There's just going to be crazy-ass chicks all over
and
you.
Dude, I would fuck things that I shouldn't even fuck. And I'm not talking about women or women I shouldn't. I mean, I would, like, go to a zoo and be like, I bet I can get my dick in that rhino. You know what I mean? I would want to fuck things where there were a struggle. I'd be bored with women saying no. I'd be like, because look, man, and I've said this on this
what
podcast
do you mean, bored
before.
Bored women saying yes.
I've said this on the podcast before, and I'll say it again. No sounds a lot like more with a pillow over your face. You remember that, ladies?
Jesus Christ! The views expressed by Jason Tebow are those of Jason Tebow and Jason
and Punch Junk Sports,
Jason Tebow,
and All Things Comedy, and Bill Burr and Al Madrigal specifically.
Please do not take that serious.
You follow the money line.
This is a guy who sleeps with
you. Can't sue me. You can't sue Sam.
He's blanket.
What are you getting? His girlfriend's apartment? My pile of leaves? No. You want Bill Burr? Here's his phone number. You want to sue this guy?
Okay, so that's UFC. We'll get into the UFC with the next card coming up.
That's going to be...
I might be in Vegas for it. You might have to hitchhike out there.
That's going to be the best... That, on paper, because I don't want to say that anymore, because so many times in my life as a UFC fan, I've looked at cards and been like, this is going to be the most exciting, greatest card that there is. And then every fight goes to a decision. Every fight's boring. They just dance around. I'm like, God, what a disappointment. And there's been so many times where I'm like, this card sucks. I'm going to still watch it because it's free because I can go to my buddy's house or go to the fucking, Sal's or whatever and watch it. And then I watch it and I'm like, holy shit.
That's a great
fight. I almost didn't watch this entire, and every card was like an amazing knockout
cool.
But on paper, this next card, and just the two headlining fights alone
look great.
I'm like, wow.
A lot of animosity.
Both of those are going to be
animosity.
Great fights and great fights that I would want to see these fights. And it's not like they've made us wait forever, like Mayweather, Pacquiao, or any bullshit like that. On paper, this December fight looks pretty good.
There's a fight before that. The December 12th fight, I believe you're talking about. There's a... There's a couple fights before.
Yeah, there's like two fights before.
This one.
Free ones?
Yeah, I want to get to the. We'll get into this fights later. But yeah, man, there's some. They got some good fights. Oh my god.
Yeah. There's three solid fights.
Oh my god. There's three fights. There's three fights before.
The 12th.
Yeah, man, and they're all got good cards on it. They got. There's the one out of Korea, which is Henderson versus Masvidal.
If that thing's in South Korea, I have no interest in watching it.
It is in South Korea.
Man, they could throw one in North Korea. That'd be so badass. And they're all North Koreans. They got to fight. And then it's like, you remember in, I think it was Naked Gun? What movie was it?
Oh, my God. They're doing a fight at the Cosmopolitan.
What movie was it where they're like, hey, man, this fight should be good. Both these guys are represented by Don King. And the bell rings, and one guy swings and doesn't even connect, and the other guy just falls down, and the fight's over. That's how all North Korea fights would be.
Was that Hot Shots?
No, it was later than Hot Shots. I don't remember, but it was really funny. But the that's how the North Korea fight card would be. It'd be all people against North Koreans, and like the bell would ring, and they would just punch him in the arm, and the guy would just fall.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I think December may be. They have a fight almost every from November 28th to December to January 2nd. There is an awesome fight almost every week. It's amazing.
Why not?
Because it doesn't even make sense.
I don't know. I'm just seeing if everyone's paying attention.
Okay. Guys, call in. We want to hear what you think about sports. Let's get in some NFL, man. It's heating up.
I tell you what's interesting about the NFL right now.
Right there.
You got about maybe three, maybe four dominant teams that absolutely are going to make the playoffs 100%. No, shouldn't be a problem barring any injuries. Then you got everybody else that's right around 500.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Everybody else, for the most part, has a shot. You got four teams that are absolutely going to make it. You got probably two to four teams that absolutely are not. And everybody else is like, you know, 6-3, 5-4, like right there.
Yeah. I mean,
in the AFC and the NFC, even both of them kind of look identical.
Panthers and Patriots.
Let me ask
Panthers
you
and
something,
Patriots both
T-Bow.
Look great. Arizona looks
great. How many people in the United States do you think would watch an undefeated Patriots versus an undefeated Panthers in the Super Bowl? What do you think those numbers would be?
I mean, it's, you know, the Super Bowl is a weird thing because it's always the most watched event in all of television in the world.
Right, but they fluctuate between everybody watching, a lot of people watching to a lot more people watching. Like when you have the Steelers.
I think if it's a Super Bowl and it's the Jaguars versus the, you know, if it's Lions-Jaguars, where you're like, fuck, it's still the Super Bowl and people go,
right.
Whether they watch and pay attention or they're just sitting there eating chips and smoking pot.
Right,
it gets watched regardless.
But if you have like a Patriots versus Giants, more people watch that. Pittsburgh versus, you know, whenever Pittsburgh's in the Super Bowl, more people watch that. It just happens.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, to me, it's just like.
You're telling me you don't think.
I think there's a lot of people that don't call
it Super Bowl.
That's the Super Bowl. I don't care about those two teams. I'm not going to go to a Super Bowl party this year. I'm going to just watch reruns.
Undefeated teams.
Yeah, I still think people will still watch it. Just, you know,
obviously people are going to watch it. I'm talking about whether everybody would watch it. Like, you would break a number unheard of if you had two undefeated teams going at it in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that would add to the storyline. I think maybe a few more people are gonna, but
Aaron,
still
what do you think?
The Super Bowl. I don't know of anybody that's been like, that's the Super Bowl this year. You know what? What else are you gonna do? Go to a movie?
Okay.
The fever pitch would
go crazy, would right? High, people's heads would explode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would do better. I think it'd be one of those things where you go, I am so sick of hearing the word undefeated. You know what I mean? That whole week that gears up to the Super Bowl where they just beat you to death with storylines, it would be like, you remember how sick you were hearing about Tim Tebow all the fucking time?
Yeah.
You would just be like, I can't wait till somebody loses. The interesting thing would be somebody's getting out of that undefeated and someone's going to break that record.
Let me ask you something. You know what I miss? I miss the Carolinas slutty cheerleaders.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those slutty cheerleaders that used to fuck in the bathroom?
You guys remember that? I don't even know
you're talking
about.
Remember those days when those girls would get in the
bathroom? They all do.
The good old days.
Buttholes.
I don't even remember storylines of fucking.
Remember that? Google this. Carolina Panthers cheerleaders busted fucking in bathroom.
Who did they fuck?
Each other.
Each other, yeah, that's right.
Wait, that guy's ringing a bell. I remember that.
It was at a club, though. It wasn't at a game.
No, it was at like some, event, but still, yeah. I'd like to have that. I would like that. Can I say something? Tom Brady is the greatest player ever. He's up for the greatest player ever. He's in that discussion, right? Would you say that?
If he
wins a Super Bowl or goes to another one.
Football is so weird because of all of the major sports, it's the one where you don't play both ways.
Right.
You don't play offense and defense. So it's easier to go baseball, who's the greatest ever, pitcher versus non-pitcher, who's the best basketball player ever. And then you go to football and it's like, I mean, you almost got to go, who's the best quarterback ever? Who's the best defensive back ever? Who's the best? Because they all do such completely different things.
Right.
You could go, Tom Brady's the greatest football player ever. And there's going to be a shitload of defensive people that are like, hello.
Right.
You know, I mean, the guy gets coddled and take, you know, it's like.
Let's say.
Quarterback. Yeah, he's arguably.
Cam Newton goes to the Super Bowl and wins it. Let's just say that. I would tell you that Cam Newton would be one of the. I don't want to say best football player ever, but there's something about him where he had won at not only won at every level, but he had won the MVP of that level. Meaning in high school, he won the fucking. He won Mr. Football and he won state championships. Went to college, went to a junior college, won the national championship in junior college, won best player in junior college. Went to Auburn, won a national championship in Auburn, won the Heisman. If he goes to the NFL, if he wins this year, let's just say if he wins this year, he'll probably be MVP.
Even if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, he's probably their leading candidate for MVP right now.
Has anyone ever done that in the history? Won every single championship?
I'd be willing to bet, absolutely. I would think so.
I can Google that.
Google it.
That's going to be a tough one.
You're going to have to take some time, so we won't hear from you in a little while. Just go.
That's
going
to be a tough one to Google, but yeah.
I would imagine
that's happened.
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of Googling, that was Hot Shots.
Ah, Hot Shots, right on.
What's Hot Shots?
Nailed it.
The
Don King boxing.
Nice. That was,
Also, yes, I looked up the article. It was two Carolina Panthers cheerleaders. They were in a bathroom stall until about 2:10 in the morning.
I remember.
When patrons started complaining, and then one of them left and then bitch punched a patron in the face.
Yeah, probably the old fucking lady in a muumuu bitching about two hotties finger blasting each other. Hey, we got calls, guys. We got calls. Hey, everybody, you're on with Punch Drunk Sports. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, who's this?
This is Canadian Craig wondering why you guys don't fucking follow the Canadian CFL football playoffs.
Well,
Grey Cup this weekend, bud.
I like it. Now, the playoffs just started or just starting now?
No. The championship's on fucking Sunday, guys.
Oh, that's this Sunday?
Edmonton Eskimos versus Ottawa Red Blacks.
Now, what is a Red Black? I've talked about this. I've talked about this recently on the podcast.
It's like black and red. I don't know. What the fuck?
How do you not know what a Red Black is? I saw the fucking, I'm watching a game, and then their jerseys, and right across the front of them, it says, we're the Red Blacks. Is that like every?
Yeah. It's like a lumberjack that's like black and red. I don't know. What the fuck? What's an Eskimo?
What is an Eskimo?
This guy has no idea.
This guy's the meanest Canadian ever.
He's like a Canadian philosopher.
This guy's so angry that we don't follow Canadian sports. He calls into our show internationally to yell at us, and then fucking get in your face.
You really don't know what a red black
is.
Well,
I don't.
And why?
No, nobody knows what a red
black
is.
Look up what a red black
is. Whatever, it's just a name.
No, it's not just a name.
I saw it, I'm like, is this Canadian team really, is their mascot every race that has never lived in Canada? Indians and black people?
Of course there's Indians in Canada.
Really? How many of them are left? You see them walking around, working at places?
We tried to kill them with those blankets, but they're fucking surviving up here, bud.
Dude, of course there's Native Canadians who are Indian. What do you think, they stopped at the border?
No, I think that they've been pretty much just genocide went down on them, and now they're all drunk gamblers.
Hold on. Fun history lessons from Jason Tebow. Let's talk about the genocide of the native Canadian Indians by the Canadians. Let's hear about it, Jason.
No, I think they got a little taste of the blankets, too, and I think they quit breeding.
Yeah. Well,
so you're saying Canada's just nothing blankets, but white people and Native Americans just walking around, living in harmony.
Native Americans, they're Native Canadians.
Well, you know what I'm saying, Indians.
Well, you can't say it then.
Right.
Yeah. You
what
can.
Do you guys call them? You call them Reds.
Yeah. Why don't you just call them Reds? What are they? Black Reds?
Oh, it was
that's a good point. We could probably name a team that.
The CFL opened up voting for the name of the team. Of the five names, it was Nationals, Voyagers, Red Blacks, and Raftsmen. Everyone voted on Red Blacks.
Yeah, but what is a Red Black?
I don't know, man.
What did you Google? What is a Red Black?
I know. It's like, okay, we could be the Lumberjacks. We could be the fucking the Maple Leafs. Oh, we could be the Circle Squares. Hey, man, Circle Squares. That sounds like two words I've heard before.
It was a sarcasm vote.
They're both shapes in.
Canada's known for their comedy. They got great comedians, horrible music. Horrible music, right? What is it? I download Canadian music illegally.
They're too nice and happy.
Like,
music needs a dark side. For good music, you gotta be like, I'm depressed.
Let's hear your calls. Who should we like from Canadian music?
For sure, you guys should like Rush and like fucking Justin Bieber and
whoever the fuck we got. Now I'm starting to think this is
more sad.
A fake call.
It straight up says we started to narrow.
We started to narrow in
on Red Blacks. Red stands for desire. Black stands for power.
Okay, very interesting.
He's literally the president of the CFL team.
The Red Blacks.
Yep, it's like they've lost it.
It just sounds like a bunch of fucking black guys.
It's like two words put together.
Is that a genre on porno, by the way? Fucking black guys banging Native Americans?
I don't know.
I thought you were talking to the caller.
Up here in Canada, it is.
Yeah, up here in Canada. Dude, where in Canada do you live? Edmonton?
Ottawa?
No, I live in Saskatchewan.
Oh, I love Canada, dude. I can't gig there enough. I love Canada. If you're a comedian, you have to play Canada. They're the fucking best. They're the best. The coke is great. The chicks will fuck you. It's great. It's great.
Have you done the...
Yeah, you were snorting snow. For sure, snow.
Was it really cold?
Fucking snarky Canadian guy.
Did you notice it was cold? The lines you were doing were cold. Did you happen to notice that?
They would melt, dude. That's how you know it's good coke when it just goes.
That's called snow.
Your nose, you gacked out, and the chick gives you thirsty eyes. That's how you know it's a good time.
Don't snort yellow coke, Sam.
Okay. What are you looking up now?
I'm still trying to look for the history of Red Blacks.
Real quick, I'm going to give you Rush, and I'm not even in the Rush, but I think Rush. Aaron, do you, as a white man from the Midwest, do you enjoy Rush?
Not really.
Do you respect Rush?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna put Rush as a check. Yes.
Comeback Kid and Boys Night Out, best Canada rock bands.
Get the fuck out of here.
Those movies?
Yeah, nah. What is that? Comeback Kid. Let me hear it, dude. List all your great Canadians.
It's a punk band.
Is he gone?
No, he's there.
What? No, I'm still here, eh?
Go, list your Canadian
accent.
Music.
There's no way this guy's from Canada.
Oh, Canadian bands. Well, do you guys like Shania Twain, like fucking country? Or
no.
What genre?
Anything, dude. Give me a name to respect.
Sheepdogs are pretty good.
The fucking Sheepdogs. That's from Saskatchewan where
Sheepdogs?
I live.
Bare Naked Ladies? Phenomenal.
Look up Sheepdogs. We're going to play a little Sheepdogs.
Sheepdogs.
Sheepdogs? Look up Sheepdogs.
Sure,
let me see that.
Like that.
Let me see that thing.
I saw them at the Roxy like 3 weeks ago.
Because I don't need your phone. I need this, you fuckhead. Look up Sheepdogs. Find a song. Play it. Let's see if this...
Sheepdogs are good.
That's a fun song.
You
shocked?
Fucking asshole.
Who, was it me?
Yes.
What'd I do?
Because I'm trying to put this in. You're being a fucking
I didn't see which way you're going.
Sheep dogs. Play a little, please.
Sheep dogs are good.
All right, play a little.
Well, I will determine this.
Okay, skip the end. Here we go. This determines whether Canadians got good music or not. Okay, we're doing some claymation to warm it up.
Check. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, we're not doing too well.
Yeah.
The fuck was
Let's
that?
Ride.
Okay, I'm liking it. I'm liking it. I'm liking it.
I dig it.
I dig it. Okay, you got me a sheepdog. Let's hear some lyrics. Yep, you got me. You got me. I love them, dude.
It's
wow. Sweet, you got me, dude. You got me. Sheepdogs.
Yeah, sheepdogs are good.
They're fucking great.
Whoa, whoa, thanks, man.
Eric Clapton's
hey,
half
whoa,
Canadian.
Hey, let me,
Eric Clapton's let me Canadian?
Ask you guys
half.
A question.
Yes.
Yes.
Let me ask you guys a question. Who's going to win then in the CFL fucking Grey Cup this weekend? Is it Ottawa or is it going
to... Who cares?
See, no, I tell
Nobody
you who
cares.
He's trying to beat us at our own
we
game.
We asked the questions!
That was a guy who was setting us up for a hangout.
Dude, you... Goddamn, man. Did you really try
game.
To play our game on us, dog?
I tell Canadians. You who I want to win.
What the year do you think it
Red
is
Blacks
in Canada?
To win.
What year do you think it is? I think right. It's 2005.
87.
Oh, hey, Nickelback's from Canada.
Oh, dude.
The rest of my
okay,
case.
You can't talk. You're in the 5 minute... Fucking doghouse.
Penalty box.
Hey, we got another call. Come on in, dog.
Oh, okay. Here.
Yellow. You're on with Punch Drunk Sports, Homes of Champions. Home of Champions. Yellow?
You guys still talking NFL?
Yeah, we are, dog.
I'm a Cleveland sports fan. I was just wondering if or what you guys think it takes to turn around a franchise.
For Cleveland to turn it around?
Yeah,
you guys are blowing it up. You got, I think, you, I mean, the, with you, half your defense was on the trading block right before the trade deadline, as well as your arguably the best center, actually the best center in the NFL, and the top 8 left tackles in the NFL. So your 2 best linemen, you're like, these guys are for sale, and your 4 best defensive players, you're like, these guys are for sale. Those are all signs that you guys are trying to stock up draft picks. And you guys are cutting all these contract salaries off of the books. And I think you guys are rebuilding. So
Again.
And I think you guys need a running back. And you need this Gordon thing at wide receiver to somehow clear up. Because he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. And he's been suspended repeatedly.
They have to get him. They have to make it okay for players to smoke weed. It's just at the point. Where it's okay. I mean, Ohio just almost passed
well,
a law.
He got busted for drinking.
God,
who? Johnny
damn
Manziel?
No, Gordon.
Oh. Dude,
and Manziel just got. I mean, and Manziel's
all I have
dumb.
To say is this, Tebow.
Manziel, all this trouble that he just got in over the weekend again.
Party video.
It's just like,
well,
what are you
the worst
doing?
Part is he's singing into the video
while with champagne in his hand while he's claiming to be sober.
Doing?
He's got a bottle of champagne in his hand. While he's like, yeah,
why
man.
Why are you singing into the video?
I was in rehab for 90 days. I'm sober. Don't have to worry about me. And then on the bye week, even before the bye week starts, hey, guys, you won't see any trouble out of me. And then it's like, you know, he's partying. And then you're dumb enough to put on Instagram, wow, going to be hurting tomorrow after this rough night.
Oh, my God.
His Instagram picture of him holding a bottle of champagne puts... Tomorrow going to be hurting tomorrow. Tomorrow's going
to
be a rough day.
I think
day.
He wants out of there. He wants to go to Dallas.
Dallas man, has enough problems. I mean, to
crazy.
Me, I think Cleveland are a completely rebuild, man. I mean, your defense has problems. You got a couple okay receivers. I don't know, man. I look at a team like Cleveland, and I'm like, where do you start? You know, it's like
you do with draft picks, or is it management and coaching first?
Oh, God, that's a really good question. I probably go management and coaching first. I don't know who you get.
Well, you know, the truth is, it's like every owner the Browns have had is a fucking scumbag, like a, just like a crazy scumbag. And it's like the truth is, it's ownership down. And like, I don't know, you know, well, you're talking to a Clipper fan who had 30 years of fucking Don Sterling. So, I mean, like, who are you going to get to go there that's worth anything when they know every 2 years you get rid of the coaching staff? It's just like, you know, it's just like the truth. The truth is, you need to get some people who, like, Stafford would be great there. Why not get Stafford? Go after Matthew Stafford.
I would. Oh, Stafford. Yeah.
Why not?
I like that. No, I'm sorry.
You got the wide receivers. You have that phenomenal tight end. You get back the guy you just said. What's the wide receiver you just
Josh
said?
Josh Gordon.
Now you got Benjamin, Josh Gordon, and this great tight end. You somehow get a decent running back, and you just, now you start building, dude. Just, you know. Do what the Raiders did. You know what the Raiders did, man? And I know we're not perfect. We lost a couple games in a row. But you know what? When you see your team, even if they're losing, putting up 30 points a game, it's exciting. Put up some numbers. Put some points on the board.
Oh, I mean, and, you know, getting rid of all these, I don't know. If I was a fan of the Browns, the number one thing that would alarm me the most would be their willingness to get rid of two of the best offensive linemen in football.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's anything you want to build a foundation in the NFL around, it is that front fucking five. It's the front five. And when you have two of the best locked down, and you're like, hey, man, you can take these guys, too. That's how desperate we are for. What are you going to do? Get rid of the best center in the NFL and draft a young center?
It doesn't even make sense. Because the best you'll get is just a replacement.
Well, it's one of two things. It's they want out. They want out, and they've expressed to you, I want out, and I'm going to try to get out of my contract at the end of the year because I'm sick of this. And they go, well, shit, we better get something for him.
Right, man. Right.
Because if he's gone anyway, we better get something for him.
I agree.
Or it's them going, look, we can't go into next year carrying both these guys' salaries and rebuild.
I agree.
So let's get rid of these two, and we can get six people for the price of these two.
I love Cleveland, man. It's just a fun-ass city. I love the women. They got fat asses.
I like Cincinnati more than Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, my God. I went to Cincinnati. That is ghetto.
But so is Cleveland.
Yeah. I mean, that's Ohio, with the exception of where Ohio
Columbus.
State is.
Columbus. I love Columbus.
Columbus is great. The rest of it, ghetto!
Oxford's nice, too. Oxford's beautiful.
I don't know, man. I mean, at least you guys got the Cavs.
Are you from Ohio?
Yeah, that's us. Which we got LeBron, right?
You live in Cleveland?
Yeah, a little south of it.
Oh, nice.
LeBron
nice.
Has to be watching the Warriors going, oh, fuck.
Everybody's watching the Warriors saying that.
Yeah, but there's some extra pressure on LeBron to win something to win a title in Cleveland. And that team in the West is just running on
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this about LeBron. Why does he get such a bad fucking rap?
I don't think he gets a bad rap.
Why does everybody ride him so much? Why does everybody talk about how he's not that great or he'll never be X, Y, and Z?
Who?
Why does everybody shit on him a lot?
I feel that people show him a lot of love. They realize what a special player he is. I mean, you're always going to have like someone like Skip Bayless talking shit because
that's his job.
That's his job.
That's how he gets paid.
And you're always going to have player haters who hate, but I think if you ask the average basketball junkie or like someone who writes in, they'll be like, LeBron James is a top 10 player.
Doesn't get DUIs, doesn't fucking get caught cheating, not saying he does or doesn't, but never gets caught doing shady shit, never tested positive for drugs, never gets pulled over with weed in his car,
Drama-free. Probably
doesn't own a gun, donates a lot of money to charity. Always is nice to kids when he sees kids. You always see him doing nice shit. You know, what he is the quintessential role model that we always want these sports heroes to be.
Yeah.
And people are like, ah, fuck LeBron. He's not that great. It's like, you're wearing a Kobe jersey.
Yeah.
He raped a woman.
There is.
He has held that team franchise ransom. He's said repeatedly, I'm the shit. I'm the next Michael Jordan. You don't hear LeBron saying that shit. You don't hear LeBron tooting his own horn. You don't hear him getting busted raping chicks while he's married.
Yeah.
And someone in a goddamn Kobe jersey
wants to tell
you that LeBron's not that great.
Well, we don't know. He's much better at hiding I would tell you that every pro athlete has secrets. The notion
I would tell you every human being has secrets.
Well, the notion that LeBron isn't fucking chicks on the side, I think you're naive to think that.
I'm not saying that he isn't. I'm just saying he's not. If you see a cockroach in your house, you have a lot of cockroaches in your house. So if you get busted fucking some chick all sloppy like in a fucking hotel room trying to rape some chick in the ass, this ain't your first fucking rodeo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if he's got side pussy or if he's doing something on the side or whatever the fuck, he's either really good at it or really gentlemanly about it.
Yep, I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Or there really is an option, and I know people are going to think I'm crazy for saying this.
You're crazy.
Insane.
It's possible he's not even doing that.
No. Nope.
Maybe he has been.
I disagree with that.
Maybe he had in his past. Maybe he's over it.
Dude,
maybe not, but he's
in his
30s.
You're a 30-year-old fucking multimillionaire genetic super freak. Pussy is being thrown at you constantly. And I just don't think it. I don't have a problem with him fucking around. It's this stupid ass notion that.
Or maybe he's smart enough to say to his woman, look, you're my girl. You're my main bitch.
Yeah.
And you got all this money, and we got this fucking. Lifestyle that we have to protect. I don't need my name in the papers. You don't need to be getting fucking, you know, losing all your shit.
Yeah, dude,
you know what I mean?
Definitely.
So I'm going to get some side pussy. You're going to be cool about it. And I'm going to keep you on the payroll. By the way, make sure my
smart.
Kids aren't stupid.
What she's going to do is she's smart. She might like him, just realize that, hey, this is what guys do. They want side pussy. At least he comes home to me. Or he's like a lot of these chicks. They just keep tabs of all the crazy shit they're doing. And then when these girls do it every fucking time, when they retire and the limelight goes away, they just jump on another guy who's in the spotlight and all that. Because they're always younger than these guys. So they jump on the spotlight and another fucking guy, and they stay in the spot. Like, that's how these women fucking operate. You know, it is what it is, dude. And it all depends on how you treat people. Maybe LeBron is, I mean, from all accounts, everybody says he's the nicest guy. You know, maybe he's just a nice guy and he gets some pussy on the side and nobody wants to fucking call him out on his shit. And maybe these girls are like, man, I just fucked the most genetic super freak human being on the planet. Yay for me. You know, and they just fucking enjoy it.
Yeah.
Where was it? Oh, this guy, Gerald Green, right? The black listener hit me up. Going, hey man, is this about someone fucking another guy's girl? And there was this big rumor that Gerald Green was fucking somebody's chick on the team. And it's like, it's so fucking interesting because there's literally 30 women in the entire state or the country you can't fuck, and
yeah.
You've got to stick your dick in them.
I mean, that's as old as the Bible. That shit happening.
Right,
like,
I know, but
you can
still
fuck anybody but this one person. It's like, yeah, but since you said that, that's the only person I want to fuck.
Yep.
You know what I mean? If you want that to work, be like, listen, don't fuck the 70 billion women on the planet, okay? Please only fuck the coach's wife. And then that person's going to be like, she looks a little too busted to me. I think I'm going to fuck these 70 billion women.
A little fucking.
You know what I mean?
Mind games?
Yeah. Reverse psychology.
Fuck, we only talked about football for a short time. We got to start getting basketball. I don't want to get into basketball yet.
Damn, we got this Canelo fight.
Let's talk. I mean, I didn't watch it, so I can't really.
Oh, you didn't?
Talk. I was performing.
Oh, that's right. I didn't know if you saw it like later or some replay.
I'm sure
it will
come on HBO this week. I'll watch it then.
Great fight. I think it sets up Triple G Canelo. I think that's the fight.
I think that'll
be the best fight
in
the
2000s. I think Cotto didn't want him. I don't think Cotto wanted to fight Triple G. I'm not saying he threw the fight at all in that any way, but I don't think, because you remember a long time ago, Tebow, you said, what's his face that runs Bliss?
Martin.
Martin told you that Cotto made it's a money fight and just get in, get out.
Oh yeah,
you remember that?
Yep.
And then Cotto didn't pay his sanctioning fees, which is a lot of money.
$300,000 is a lot of money.
I don't think he wanted it. I think part of him's like, okay, I don't gotta fight Triple G.
But you know, you also just picked up a $15 million paycheck.
I don't give a fuck, man. You give me $50 million, you go, hey, but give me $300,000. I'll be like, what? $300,000?
That's those words of Sam Tripoli do not reflect the thoughts and opinions of the show or All Things Comedy. If anybody wants to give me $15 million, I will gladly hand you $300,000, including a blowjob at the end of me handing you $300,000 in cash.
I wish I had $1 billion, and I would have him.
I would suck the fuck out of your AIDS-infested dick. God knows where that fucking 6 inches of fucking anger have been. But all of it would go into my mouth if you were to hand me $15 million. Now, and I'm not talking about I'd suck your dick on this podcast. At the halftime of this undefeated team Super Bowl that the whole world is going to watch, I'm sucking your fucking Armenian fucking wedge stick. Just gawk, gawk, gawk. Every now and then I take time out just to get my fucking wits about me. Right back to work. Oh, dude, with the anger on my face, tears, oh, mascara running down the side of my eyes.
Oh, you would put mascara on?
Of course. I whatever anybody wanted. A dildo in my ass, a plunger on my head, two fucking super gay guys playing with my nipples. Whatever you guys want.
Super gay guys.
And then when I'm done and I'm fucking puking up all that fucking yellow cum that you have, why is it yellow? I don't want to know. Phooey. I spit it out. I hand you $300,000, and I go, thank you, sir. Now, back to the Super Bowl.
Do we have a call?
No.
3-2-3-8-2-7-4.
Great fight. Here's what I was impressed by. Canelo's fucking headwork. I mean, for a guy that's that big, that just wants to come at you, walk you down, get you know, cut the ring off to you, and then bomb you with heavy fucking leather... His headwork and his footwork, so impressive. Dude, he walks in that ring at, you know, 178, you know, after making weight at one, you know, whatever they fucking weigh in, 155 or whatever the fuck that weight class is. And Cotto just doesn't. He comes in 8+ pounds, and this guy comes in 22 pounds heavier. Him and Triple G will be the best fight that we have seen in the 2000s.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it will be the most exciting matchup, but great fights. There's been guys out there you don't even know that have fucking... And like, I was watching this premier boxing
The best
fight.
Marquee fight that has been high stakes, dude. High money.
Yeah, without doubt.
Pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's been some...
That fight should do Mayweather-Pacquiao... It should do Mayweather-Pacquiao numbers. It won't, but it should.
It won't.
In terms of anticipation,
but
and
it
fight?
Is it is something that I think would be great for boxing. And you know what people forget about Saul Alvarez is that, or Canelo Alvarez, same thing, is that the guy's 25. He's not 32. He's not 36.
Well, Triple G is like 35.
Well, I know
no, he's
but
32, right?
Canelo is 25 years old, and he already has. If you include his Mexican boxing career, he's got like 60 fights under his belt. He lost one fight in his life, and it was a decision to Mayweather, where Mayweather was just so defensive-minded. And, you know, Canelo was 23 at the time and just couldn't, you know.
25.
Couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, dude. I'm excited about that fight. That will probably happen probably in May.
What is it you are looking up right now?
I'm having the fight. I'm having Daryl call in to talk because there's a bunch of great fighters, coming up that I would love for him to talk about. Man, there's this Russian guy that he says is like the most insane fighter on the planet.
That Tyson Fury and Klitschko fight coming up.
That's a good fight.
I mean, it's a good fight. And again, the Klitschko brothers are another thing to me where I'm like, those guys, I don't know why they don't get, I do know why. I'm going to take that back. I was going to say, I don't know why the Klitschko brothers don't get enough respect. And I'll tell you why they don't. Because in their era of dominating the heavyweight division of boxing, there's been no competition
for
them.
Yeah, that's it.
There's been no competition.
They're like
for
the Spurs.
They've mopped up the heavyweight division in the era where the heavyweight division has been pure dog shit. Isn't that tough for your legacy?
Yeah.
Do you think that would be to be like, you know what? Yes, I've dominated the heavyweight division for 15 years, but there's nobody to compete against, and so therefore I'll never
really... Hey, we got a call? Nope, we got no call.
I'll never really get to test my, you know, those guys never really contest how great they were because they came up and dominated a weight class that wasn't great.
Yep. I agree with you. Who is it? Isn't it interesting, dude, where, like, eras come in where, like, oh, this is the era of a great middleweight boxers. This is the era of fucking elite scoring forwards. You know, it's like, isn't it interesting? And then you'll have
the
a
era
draft.
Of quarterbacks.
This is the era, you know, where a whole draft will just suck. There's nobody good this year in this draft. It's just weird, right?
Yep. And this is definitely, you know, a lot of that is like, okay, you know, who in that in this particular sport, and you see it a lot in the NFL, and you see it a lot in NBA. Rule changes. A lot of rule changes that kind of tailor towards a certain style of the game getting 100%. Played.
You see that with the Warriors right now.
Well, you see it with Warriors right now, and you see it a lot of ways in the NFL where they, okay, man, you can't check receivers anymore because we want a lot of scoring, so we want very offensively minded kind of, and then all of a sudden all these quarterbacks start putting up humongous numbers.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, because you used to, you know, from the time they would snap the ball, there would be MMA fights between defensive backs and receivers.
Right.
And now you can't do anything because they're like, hey, man, we want them to put up big numbers. We want, and now you see all these quarterbacks putting up these gigantically gaudy numbers, and you're like, would Drew Brees have put up 500 yards a game 3 weeks in a row in 1989?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
You know, and back then it was all ground and pound.
Well,
they talk
a lot about that in basketball. The whole discussion is how would these Warriors do against Michael Jordan's Bulls? And I go, well, what rules are we playing?
Yes,
under?
Because if you're playing the rules back then,
they would get murdered.
They would get murdered.
The Warriors would
they
get
would
murdered.
Literally get murdered.
Yeah.
I mean, elbows and fucking jersey grabs and fucking, you know, boxing out, you know, like, dude, that it was so much more of a physical game back then.
Hey, what's the number here? I'm trying to get this guy to call
323-282-7424.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to call him. Here, give me this.
Yep.
Hold on. I'm going to call this nigga right here.
Oh, what?
Nobody can stop Steph Curry. What chance you give Michael Jordan? Hey, dude, welcome to the show. It's my good friend, Daryl Lamontre. What's up, bud?
Hey, what's going on?
Welcome to Punch Drunk Sports. We were just getting into some boxing, and I thought, who better to call than the fight guru himself, Daryl. You're here with Jason Tebow and Frank the Mexican. And let's get into
How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Let's talk about some boxing. You were talking about how you were really impressed with the fact that Canelo, his boxing skills seemed to have gotten better.
Yeah, I think it was the first fight where he really showed clear improved boxing skills since the Mayweather fight. I didn't think he had improved that much, and I actually thought he would get outboxed for most of the fight by Cotto, and I thought maybe he could, you know, just maybe stop him, you know, like be losing on points and then maybe stop him late. But he actually showed a lot of things in there that impressed me, and he did a pull counter, like a Mayweather-type pull counter, and he did a move where he faked with the right hand and threw a left uppercut. Like, he was doing stuff in there, and his upper body movement was... You know,
I was just saying, his head movement was incredible in this fight.
Yeah.
Especially for a guy that big. His head movement, I was like, wow!
Right. Because he has slow feet, but he's made up for it with the upper body movement and, you know, and the improved boxing skills overall. You know, I was impressed. But I didn't agree with the scorecard. I don't think anyone agreed other than... the judges and it was Jacob Fieroff was there. He was him and the three judges are the only ones that agreed with Cotto winning only one or two rounds.
Cotto was talking about how he thought he won the fight.
Oh, of course he was. I thought he won three, maybe four rounds.
Yeah, I agree with that. 3 to 4 rounds.
Not more than four, and four would be generous. But I had it. You know, I had it 9-3.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, but I could see, I could see it 8-4. I literally was saying to my buddy, I watch it with Chip, and I go, that fight was 9-3, maybe 8-4. Anything lower or better than that is kind of bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. And it was something weird, though. I read this yesterday. there's a Mexican newspaper, I think, called Azteca, and they actually had Cotto winning 9-3. And they said it was a robbery about their own fighter.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That was my high school newspaper.
Yeah.
Azteca?
Yeah.
Your high school
newspaper? Yeah, really.
Gringos. What's going on in Gringoland? So let's talk about this, because you and I talk boxing a lot, and you've said, we were just kind of right before you called, we were talking about eras and how, like, and you and I talked about this yesterday too, about how it's just like there's just an era of great heavyweights and an era of great scoring forwards. And you've said that boxing is kind of entering a new golden era of boxing. Can you explain that?
Oh, well, there's a lot of great young talent in boxing right now. You'd have to be kind of a hardcore fan, but there's like a lot of fighters. Like there's this guy named Vasyl Lomachenko from Ukraine that won two gold medals.
You've talked to him of me about, and it's like I'm really excited to see this guy fight. Did you just try to spell that?
Yeah, I just.
How do you spell that? Because that was the funniest thing.
Okay, so his first name is spelled V-A-S-Y-L.
V-A-S.
And the last name, yeah, Y-L.
V-I-S.
V-A-S.
V-A-S-Y-L.
Y-L.
Like Vaseline almost.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, dude, and that's then, a fucking name.
And then last name, Lomachenko, L-O-M-A-C-H.
Yeah, we found him. He looks like a little Triple G, doesn't he? Like a tiny Triple G.
Oh, he's 5'6".
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's incredible.
Listen
to
this,
Tebow. He went 396 and won as an amateur.
Hold, say that again?
He won 396 and won as an amateur.
He had 396 amateur fights.
397, and he only lost one, and he avenged the loss twice. And then he won two Olympic gold medals, and he won a world title in his third pro fight, which tied a record.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, man. Dude,
yeah.
He's been in the... Wow.
How about...
Name me all 397 of his opponents.
Well, probably half of them ended with letters KO.
Yeah.
Or a V. Half of them end in like three Vs. I guarantee you, 384 of those opponents are toilet paper. They are one of those. Now I do know this. One of those opponents was a squirrel that he punched off of his balcony, and he goes, "That's 396. 396 and all." I like, beat squirrel.
Apparently, this guy talks like Gabe Killian.
Yeah.
I don't know why 400 people won't fight me. 398-1. Only person that beat me was Red Band, but he won't give me any spots.
So, hey, Daryl, let's talk about Chocolito. Is that his name? I love this guy.
Oh, there's another guy, Roman Gonzalez. Yeah, Chocolatito, they call him.
Dude, have you watched this guy fight?
The Count Chocula of Mexico.
Count Chocula.
That's actually my uncle.
Roman Gonzalez?
So this guy's incredible. This guy's 44-0, 37 knockouts.
Yeah, I think he's amazing, dude. I watch this guy. I've never seen anybody strike with such pinpoint accuracy. Like, everything hit. It was like you're fighting Glass Joe.
That undercard, the last undercard of this fight, what a war.
That's one of the best fights. That's a probably fight of the year. And
could be fight. That could be. That actually could be fight of the year.
Yo, absolutely.
That could be fight of the year.
44-0. Who was it, Daryl? Who was it?
That was this guy last name with Garcia. I'm sorry, Vargas and
Vargas Mason.
It was a Japanese guy and a Mexican guy, right?
Japanese fighter. He had like a weird name that Roy Jones called him Akisha, which is probably a girl he banged in high school.
Probably right.
Yeah,
I love Roy Jones as a commentator for HBO.
Yeah,
he really is good.
Daryl's good friends with him.
Yeah, I texted him and talked to him because I interviewed him a couple of years ago and we kept in touch. He's a great guy.
And he's still fighting in Russia. He's still fighting in Russia.
He's actually a Russian citizen now.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah. I bet he's just banging a Russian pig.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's most of the motivation.
Yeah, that's most of the motivation.
I'm sure
it is. Balls deep
easy
on some
access,
fucking...
Right?
Some fucking Russian.
Whoa. Now, what are your thoughts on this? Because you and I haven't seen you since this fight, I don't think. I briefly saw you after the fight, but we didn't really talk about it. What are your thoughts on the Triple G Saul Alvarez fight?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I think. I mean, obviously, that's the next big fight in boxing. The thing that's pissing me off, and I love Canelo, but the thing that pisses me off is that he's now, you know, he believes that he's created his own weight division, Canelo weight, 155 pounds.
That is correct.
And it's ridiculous because, I mean, the middleweight limit's 160. This guy actually walks around and fights at a higher weight than Triple G.
Yes.
So he wants to drain all these guys down to 155, including himself, because I believe he's insecure about his height because he's very short for a middleweight. He's
Who's listed at
5'9".
Canelo.
Canelo.
Really?
He's listed at 5'9", but everyone else says he's 5'8 at best.
Well, I think I hear what you're saying. I think it's one thing about that, but I think it's one of those things where if you're winning and you have found something that works and helps you win, keep doing it till you don't. If you can cut to 155 and then walk in at 172,
right,
and you've got a pretty decent win streak going at doing that, I don't blame him for that.
Well, the reason why I blame him is because he now holds the linear middleweight title.
Right.
The title that Cotto had, right?
Correct.
So if you look back in history, like, you know, when people have the title and they're defending it, their opponent gets to come in at the maximum. You know, when Duran, who's even smaller, way smaller than Canelo, fought 6'1" Iran Barkley when he was 38 years old, he didn't ask him for a catch weight. He came in at the full 160. And so did when he fought Hearns at 6'1". Another guy, 6'1", 154, he fought him at the max.
Yeah.
And when he fought Hagler in his prime.
Well, I hear what you're saying about that. Now, all of those fights are 25-plus years ago, and I think the science of cutting weight right now is different. I think if those guys,
yeah,
Hagler, Hearns, Duran...
The weight divisions, you can't create your own weight division. I use this analogy when I was talking about on my podcast. It would be like, let's say a guy that works for the Highway Patrol. He's a Highway Patrol guy, and the speed limit is 65 miles an hour. But he's like, well, when I patrol the streets, the speed limit's 60.
Yeah.
It's like, well, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
Like, you
exactly.
know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm king of the highway.
Right.
It's like, no, you're not. This is a speed limit.
Right, right.
If you want to go 60, then go 60, then go 65.
So it's so interesting. Yeah, dude. And, you know, you and I talk Dana White all the time, and we had a really great conversation about how we felt the UFC fucked up with Cyborg, how they could add another star. But to save Ronda Rousey, they kept her out, and I think maybe they'll bring her in now because now they don't have to worry about it. Now anybody can win, and it is what it is, you know. But they say that De La Hoya now is really protective of Canelo because he's really his only cash cow. And now if he loses him, you know, De La Hoya boxing is fucked.
Yeah. I mean, this is a problem, though. I mean, you know, when boxing, you know, it was MMA was so great because it was like the way boxing used to be, where if you lose a couple fights, nobody gives a shit. Now it's, you know, it seems like these fighters are not getting protected the way boxers are protected. With the, you know, with losing,
I agree, dude.
They lose a fight,
I think
you know?
That's the dumbest thing in the world. This notion, and Mayweather's made it. Mayweather made it like that. I haven't lost yet. And, like, look how boring it is to the fighter. I think we need to get, as a collective, like, dude, great fighters lose once in a while. It's just you get caught.
Yeah.
You get caught. You know, like Michael Jordan kind of, Michael Jordan never lost in the finals. Well, that's rare as fuck, man.
Right.
You know, there's been two guys who never lost in the finals, and that was Bill Russell and Michael Jordan, you know?
In Montana, right?
Well, and Montana went, undefeated in Super Bowl.
Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they'll always be considered Michael Jordan's team.
Yeah.
You know, Scottie,
anybody that were on those teams didn't lose in finals.
Right, right. Okay. But, I mean, Scottie Pippen isn't in discussion of the greatest of all time.
No, no.
Right.
Okay.
He's the greatest non-tipper of all time.
He's great. Yeah. He's a Michael Jordan of not tipping.
Yeah, he is. You can't deny that, Jason.
Daryl.
I wouldn't.
Real quick, tell everybody your social media and where they can find your podcast.
Okay, yeah. So my podcast is called Knuckles and Chuckles. It's available for free download on iTunes. And the Twitter for the podcast is @KnuckleChuckles. And my website is darylbefunny.com. It's Daryl with two R's and two L's.
All right, Daryl. Thanks for calling in, man. We'll, as we get closer to big fights, we'll have you call in again.
Great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Anytime.
Love you, bud.
Take care, bud.
Bye.
That was great. That was great.
That guy could talk fighting till the cows come home.
Yeah, he loves to talk the fights. He does. The fight talking motherfucker.
He like creates fights when there's no fights. When there's no fights, he creates fights.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you this question. Who do you think would win between the Burger King King and Ronald McDonald in a... It's like, I don't know, bro.
Yeah. Burger King
King guy looks pretty big. But I never fucking... Don't ever fucking question a clown, man.
Do we have a call? We got a call? No calls.
3-2-3.
So fourth time. Please somebody call!
282.
There's nothing to talk about if you don't call us.
I want to get in some NBA.
Hang on before you do that. Do we have a call?
No.
God damn it!
NBA. Crazy time. Tonight, the... Golden State Warriors go for a NBA record 16th straight win to start a season, which is crazy.
Nobody's ever done that
against the Lakers.
They're gonna get it. Yeah, they're gonna get it.
Was the record the Bulls at?
No,
whatever?
It was the 92 Houston Rockets, and it's like the Washington Bullets from the 1945 or something like that. It was like some weird fucking number.
So they had tied. They had both tied.
Yeah,
with
they
the same record.
It got to 15.
They both got to 15. Neither one of them got to 16.
No.
And then the Bulls got to like 12-0. Is that right?
No, I don't think they opened up. I think they opened up 12-2.
Okay. I remember. They had 12 wins in a row.
But the Bullets in 45 were playing girls in skirts.
Yeah, they. No.
This was during the war.
They weren't even black people. They were playing squirrels.
There weren't even black people in the league back then. I don't count the non-black era.
The non-black era
of any sport. When there's any kind of segregation in sports, where it's your exclusive, you know, golf, any of that. Hey, man, this is the greatest record of all time.
Well,
it's been standing since the 1911. That's not when you let everybody play your sport.
Right.
The minute you start letting everybody play your sport, then I acknowledge those records.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So do you think in every Hall of Fame they should have a Jason Tebow asterisk where it's like Jason Tebow does not recognize?
Yeah, this guy only played 5'8" white guys and nobody else was allowed in your shitty exclusive league.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't count those records. I'm sorry.
Well, we got a lot of black people in now. And, you know, as we discussed just a couple moments ago, I'm wondering if these rules that the NBA's have implemented.
Do we have a call?
In terms of defense, has allowed the Golden State Warriors to flirt. I mean, like,
there's an element of that. They get a lot of calls, and I'm not just being that guy. They get a lot of calls.
Well, Steph Curry is such an interesting because he's 6'2", which means he'd be the tallest guy in the room right now. No, you're 6'1".
And we were about the same height then.
You're
6'1".
A pretty tall dude. I'm about 6 foot.
Yep.
He's 6'2", but when he looks out there, it looks like a child running around, and that's why he's so.
And he looks young too.
And until he talks, he's like, "Hey, dog."
He looks like he's 14.
Yeah. Right. And he. So it's a very unique thing. They have this. I listen to a lot of basketball podcasts, and a thing they've talked about is this closing lineup that the Warriors have, which is Curry, Thomas. Klay Thompson, Harold Barnes, Iguodala, and the guy in the big man. What's his fucking name? I can't remember his name.
Bogut?
No. The Draymond Green.
Draymond Green.
That's their closing line. They call that their Mario Rivera closer because when they come out, nobody can stop him. Nobody has an answer for him.
Can you tell me who the highest paid athlete on the Golden State Warriors team is?
I'm going to go with Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
You know why? Because Steph Curry signed before the new deal popped.
Okay.
So instead, because when he signed, there was this kind of feeling like he had a good year, but he's injury prone, and now he's not injury prone. And what we're seeing is like the NBA people growing into their bodies. They mm-hmm. get hurt a lot early, then they grow into their bodies, mm-hmm. and they're a little better. I can't wait till they play the Spurs because I think the Spurs are the one team that could give them a lot of fucking trouble. But what we've learned about the NBA this season is, with the exception of the Golden State Warriors, anybody can beat anybody.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me, with the exception of the Golden State Warriors and the Philadelphia 76ers. At some point, the coach and the GM, Hinkie, need to get fired there. You're not only are you taking primo talent, and you're just shish kebabbing their brains. Losing becomes a mentality.
Yep.
I mean, you got a guy who just won a national championship sitting on an 0-13 team. Like that, and like then you look at the Minnesota T-Wolves, and they have two really young players, and they're competing against everybody. Why aren't the Philadelphia 76ers competing? Because I just think, you know, at first you're like, Brown, okay, he's just got a shit situation. Well, now I'm starting to think their coach Brown may not be that good, and he's not putting these kids in a position to do well. You had one player flame out so far, Embiid, and we'll see if he can get healthy. But you shouldn't be this bad. You should not be this bad. You should be winning games. The East is better, but it's not that bad, that good that you can't win. It's ridiculous, man. We got the Clippers. That's fucking...
Did you see that picture of Eric Griffin?
Yeah, that was so fucking funny, dude. He sent me that.
Of course he did.
He sent me that. It was so funny. What are you looking at, Tebow?
Johnny Manziel just made cut down to third string.
Yeah, I read that,
was
too.
Was the starter, yeah. Just demoted to third string.
Do you think he just doesn't care?
I think that he is a spoiled, and I've said this before, and I said this before he got drafted. I think Johnny Manziel is a spoiled rich kid. He was a rich kid, always was given everything that he wanted, never had to really work hard at for anything because he's always been given everything, and I'm not saying he doesn't have God-given talent. But the NFL, the difference between making it into the NFL and being great in the NFL or NBA or anything is work ethic, and we've seen that. And the people that are good and have an incredible work ethic are the ones that have longevity. And the people that come in, like a Jamarcus Russell or a Ryan Leaf, that are like, I've always fucked off and been good enough.
Right.
Come in and you know, and this guy's got, I think he's got problems with booze and drugs and hanging out with the wrong people.
Yeah, I think you're totally right.
I mean, you can't get out of rehab, 90 days in rehab, and 6 months later be popping champagne at a club when on your bye week.
Well, maybe the rehab was just, a stunt.
Either which and, way, you know, if you go all, to do that.
We've all relapsed.
I'm doing it right after the show.
But the question is,
breaking news.
Does it affect his play?
Breaking news, guys. We have a call.
Breaking news. Where's your sound effect? I think
it affects...
if they hang up before we answer.
It obviously affects his play.
Guys, welcome to Punch Drunk Sports. We have a caller, guys. Let's all hear it. Talk to this guy. Hey! Hello?
Punch Drunk.
Yes.
Am I on?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
You're on with the Punch Drunk, Frank the Mexican, White Trash Teeb, Armo Tripoli. What's up?
Oh, shit. I just wanted to call in. I've been betting on BetDSI,
yes.
And I've got this little theory going, and it's been pretty right.
Okay.
Whenever I see Freddie Roach in the corner, well, he just got put in the Henner Gracie category. But Henner Gracie, whenever I see him in the corner, I bet against him.
Interesting.
I was saying that this weekend. A lot of his fucking marquee fighters haven't had that track record that we're so used to seeing with Freddie Roach.
Yeah, and Freddie Roach, like, I'm hearing, I mean, I don't know.
What are you hearing, dude?
Rousey,
we need some breaking
boxer.
News.
Yeah.
Hold on, dude.
Oh, you want breaking
Hold
news?
Hold on, dude.
You've been here?
Hold on, dude. This might be... Tell me when you're ready. Tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready for breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news. What's up? Break it, guy, random dude.
God damn it, Tebow.
Hello?
Hello. I don't have any breaking news. I thought you guys were breaking
and
news.
And that's breaking news.
Yes. So seductive.
Well, yeah, much love from Frisco, guys. You guys are the best.
Punch Where are you from? Where are you from?
San Francisco, I think he said.
He hung up.
Oh, no way. I'm from San Jose. South Bay.
I'm going back up to Fresno, nigga.
No way.
Yeah.
I got family up there.
I like Fresno, dude. I didn't like it at first. Everything basically comes down to how's my comedy experience there.
Sure. Or how much pussy you get.
Yeah, Dayton's
or
weird.
How much like free booze there is. That I'm giving my things. Hey, do you guys get me hammered for free? Am I getting laid? Am I getting laid decently? Not just sticking my wang in some fucking Fresno 4. That should be the name of an album.
Food
Fresno 4. Fucking Fresno 4s. I'm sick of those days. I need a 5. How about a 6? I'm sick of chicks that I'm making out with them, and it's going pretty good. And then I go down on them, and they got a big cock. And I'm sucking off some guy when I thought I was going to be making out with a woman.
So, Red, so did Ari just not show up today?
He texted and he goes, I'm shooting something and I thought I was going to make it, but what's the number? I'm going to call in. Then I sent him the number and he didn't call. It sounds probably like typical Ari to me.
Probably relapsed.
Wait, is he not in town?
He's the only one. That, yeah, can you imagine Ari ever getting sober? Oh, God.
Is he in town or no?
No.
No, he's not in town. He's not in town until December 20th or something.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I think he's...
Oh, shit.
I think he was supposed to be one of the judges tonight for the battle.
Ari was?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, that's poorly planned.
Oh,
yeah, right?
Shit.
That's poorly planned.
Yep.
Oh.
What do you think Manziel's problem is?
I think Manziel is a guy that wants to, you know, I mean, part of me is like, okay.
I don't think he wants to be the starter.
No, I think he does, but I think he wants his cake and eat too. It's like, you know, I mean, like, if he showed up every day like, hey, man, I'm here at work. Let's say I'm first guy in. I'm at 8 a.m. in the morning. Everybody shows up. I'm already half an hour into my working every fucking day.
Yep.
But then on the weekends, you know, or there's a time he wants to go out and party. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, if it's affecting this game, he seems to be playing pretty well. I mean, that's my whole problem. It's like, what's the
point
of
these?
I don't
think he's playing well at all.
I thought he had some good games.
Check it out.
I mean, you can look. I mean, not enough to win. Not enough to be. I mean, he's not like AFC Player of the Week ever. He's not like, hey, man, I put up, you know, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. You know, they're losing games. He's not dazzling. Yeah. You know, he's, you know, 200. You know, he's.
Yeah.
Mediocre or less. And if you want to live that kind of lifestyle, you better be playing some lights out ball, be the first guy in the gym, be the last guy to leave, watching extra film, and the only time you get seen at a club is on the bye week. And I'm fine with that.
But
when
you're
not...
Wasn't that the bye week that he's gotten in trouble for?
But when you're not...
Hold on, but was it the bye week he got in trouble for? The week off, he was at the club.
Correct. But he's also... When he just got into that fight with his girlfriend where they called the cops and he's screaming at some girl and kicking her out of his car and all this. And he goes, hey, just I want to let you guys know, I was totally sober when this happened. This is just a rare thing. This won't happen again. I'm not going to get in trouble. And he's claiming all this sobriety. And then the next week, he's doing fucking, you know, world star hip hop videos at some club, popping champagne and tweeting about how hungover he's going to be.
6 touchdowns in the past few games. Total. What are the stats this year?
Past how many? 3 games?
Look like 6.
Past
well,
6
in the entire season. Yeah,
yeah, entire season.
He's only been started.
I'm
going to
be
2
honest
weeks.
With you. I think he's a retard. The worst part of that is singing into the video. That's the worst part of that.
Yeah, let's watch the video.
Well, singing into the video, you know, it's like one thing. It's like, hey, I don't know. Look, man, I have a fucking drinking problem. I've been trying pretty much for 43 years to be sober. And, you know, right now I got some traction and it took a lot of fucking work. And it's not easy. It is absolutely not easy. And one thing that I know I can't do is go to Thai Angel, this little late night poker place here where you can do coke all night and drink after hours. I can't go there and hang out and just watch my friends do coke and play cards.
There's a saying.
I can't do that.
Are the games good?
There's a saying, oh, my God, look at tits.
I know, right? Look at these hot.
Oh, my God.
Can you blame him, though? Yeah.
Yes, I can, because this guy wants to be an NFL quarterback, and he wants to cash the checks of an NFL starting quarterback. If you want to be a fucking strip club DJ, Johnny Manziel, that career option, I'm sure you can get.
I love me some SEC, but after that, I love me some Florida State. Hey, where are you, man?
Where's he going? He's leaving some guy, random guy with dreads. Walked.
Hey, now.
Look at the chicken behind him. Fucking Tits McGee. Tits McGee.
My God, she is hot.
She's just, look at those fat tits.
I'm wondering, are you going to enter the draft, man?
Oh, is this an old,
How you feeling about entering the draft?
Oh, yeah, that's got to be really old.
Oh, that is old, dude. Dude, you guys listen. Oh,
hey, at least we saw some tits.
At least we saw some tits.
I thought it was weird that he was wearing his high school Letterman jacket in that video.
Can we just be honest with you, man? Can we just be honest? Like, that chick, she's born hot, and now some guy's going to stuff her full of sausage, put a kid up in her, yeah. And that's all she's going to do to achieve. And then we'll probably hear her talk about how hard it is to be a woman.
Yeah.
It's so fucking hard.
Yeah.
You guys don't understand.
Can you imagine
as a guy,
what guy is like, I am so good looking that I refuse to get a job. I'm going to hang out at a bar until the hottest, richest female celebrity comes in and she's going to lose her mind and let me blow one in her and knock her up.
I was hanging out with this comic recently, and he has a very famous female friend. And he was talking about how she had gotten married.
You got to start naming names.
No, no, dude. I don't want to.
All right, found it.
All right, hold on.
Let me know when you're ready.
So he's talking about how she got married, and after like 2 years, her husband had cheated on her, and they got divorced, and she had to pay him like insane amount of money, even though he cheated on her. And, you know, and he's telling me the story, and it's like, it's total bullshit. And I'm like, you know what? It's been going the other way for fucking so long. I'm sure your friend's very nice, and I totally respect her. But you know what, dude? I can't have fucking sympathy when it's been abused the other fucking way fucking ever.
If you're dumb enough to get married, you are dumb enough to lose half your shit.
Yeah.
If you're willing to say, hey, I love you as a person, I'm willing to gamble all of the fucking hard work that I have done my entire life.
That's an old video
on
too.
Some dumb fuck.
Yeah, that's Ronda Rousey with fucking Brandon Schaub.
Oh, this is the one I just looked up.
Well, I mean, this says Johnny Manziel talks to President Ronald Reagan. Can't be that old. He's clearly a spryful 6-year-old in this video. I think this was yesterday.
I don't think Johnny knows.
It was like a dare video.
Not since November 23rd.
Well, I think you're going to be a great quarterback one day, Tack. You're a cute little.
That's the worst Ronald Reagan impression.
Yeah, that's such a weird video. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's popping champagne. The bottom line is he's hanging out with some DJ at some clear dumb fuck nightclub. There's so much at stake. There's so much at stake. When a guy like me, when you know, I get fucking 15, 20, 30 days sober, and then everybody starts talking shit about you, and everyone goes, hey, man, everybody's saying they saw you at the Ice House last night, and you weren't even doing a gig there, and you're just there drinking free drinks. Don't lie to me, bro. You know you have no business going there if you don't have a gig. And I am an absolute nobody. I have nothing on the fucking line. I don't have million-dollar contracts. This guy, and this is coming from a guy who's working really hard at trying to stay sober. If this guy did 90 days of rehab, that's a long stint at rehab. 90 days, and he's claiming all this shit because he wants to be the fucking starting quarterback in the NFL, and he wants to fucking protect the farm and have millions and millions of dollars. On your bye week, bro, I would go fucking see a private screening of the new Star Wars. I would tweet, hey, just saw a screening of the new Star Wars. Spoiler alert, it's pretty darn good. Now I'm eating popcorn in my pajamas. I would have my nose in that fucking playbook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, but that's us in our 40s. Let's think about how old is he here, 25?
And he's about
you and I, what we were doing at 25.
That's exactly what I was doing.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, if you'd have given me a fucking shitload of money, I probably would have died. Probably would have been a dead man. He has an opportunity to be Ryan Leaf. And not in the NFL in 2 years?
Yeah.
Or to be fucking something great?
I think he knows he's going to make money no matter what the fuck he does.
Well, it's not going to be playing. There are 32 quarterbacks on planet Earth.
Is that crazy?
There's 32 quarterbacks on planet Earth. You have an opportunity to be one of them.
Yep.
And you can make a lot of fucking money and go in the history books of football, that's all you've done your whole life. Or you can go do fucking Kardashian-style appearances at clubs for $50,000. But pretty soon, when you're not a quarterback anymore, nobody gives a fuck. Guess what, Johnny Manziel? When you're not in the NFL, you got about 2 or 3 years before people go, hey, there's Heisman. You know, remember Andre Ware? He won the Heisman, too. He was in the NFL for 2 years. You run into Andre Ware at a nightclub right now? You think anybody gives a fuck? Nobody gives a fuck about University of Houston quarterback Andre Ware. Detroit Lions, sometime starter for 2 years, yeah. Andre Ware.
But, you know, we've known he's had a drinking problem, and you and I mean, I'm not trying to...
I'm not judging him. I'm saying, dude,
I'm just saying, like,
now is the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't be popping champagne and...
We got a call!
No.
And saying that you're sober. You can't be popping champagne and saying that you're sober... And then be on, if you are on TMZ Sports, bad things are happening. You don't see fucking Cam Newton on TMZ Sports, and they're going,
yeah, let's
Cam Newton gives a ball to a kid with cancer.
Let's talk about Cam Newton and this desire to, seems like by some people, not to like him when all he does is seem to do to be
seems
a
like
pretty
a
nice
guy,
right?
Dude, oh, you see the
he
thing where he went to the
be
kid
a
with
guy
cancer.
Who gets it? Like something, a light bulb went off. He's like, okay.
I think
get
you're
it.
Right. I think we are into the era of mature Cam Newton, who gets not only what his role is as a team leader, not only what his job is as a quarterback, but what his role is in a community.
Yeah.
What he means to a lot of these kids. How he can not only make the NFL look good, the Panthers look good, and himself look good. By walking up to a little kid and being like, here's a football, I'll take the $12,000 fine.
Outside of Raiders, he's my favorite player in the NFL.
Outside of Falcons, probably my favorite player in the NFL.
Yeah, he just had a like a Cam Thanksgiving jam, 900 kids.
Yeah. Nice kid. Seems he's got. Realized that like these guys built something around him. And, you know, and like he seems to be.
I think we're seeing him mature as a man.
Yep. For sure.
You know, and we've seen him. We heard about the, you know, stealing a laptop when he was a kid. Now, look, all kids
dude,
do
I
dumb
stole
things.
Shit as a kid.
I did. Oh, God, so much. Dude, I've stolen
I'm just being honest with you. I stole stuff as a kid.
Totally. I mean, I think a lot of people did.
Yeah, we all did.
And I wasn't in the limelight, and I didn't get busted for whatever dumb shit I did in college. He did. But I think we really are seeing the maturation of Cam Newton from, like, college superstar to superstar rookie of the year to kind of struggling with his team, not struggling as a player, but, you know, to a man. We're seeing him, you know, and I tell you what, he's got my vote for NFL MVP right now.
Me too, dude.
And there's a lot of people that could get it. You could argue Carson Palmer.
100%. I would love to see what happens when Cam Newton gets an elite wide receiver.
Well, he's got one. He's just hurt.
Yeah, right. But, like, actually has him.
Yeah.
Has some time to play.
To have Calvin Benjamin. Can you imagine if his... I mean, that... Well, you have 12 touchdowns last year. His number one receiver got hurt in the preseason, and it has been gone all year, and this is what he has done without his best receiver.
I would
receiver.
Love if they got, like, Megatron I mean, he's on the he's other
made
side.
Ted, he's made Ted Ginn look good again. You know, I mean, he's...
I would love Megatron on the other side, dude. Those two guys... Aerial attack.
Oof.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Panthers look tough, and Luke Kuechly is the best linebacker in the NFL.
So let me ask you.
Absolutely best linebacker in the NFL.
Do you think that, are you still anti-Jameis Winston?
Oh, Winston's coming around. Him getting back Vincent Jackson's really helped him out a lot.
I like that.
Doug Martin, the muscle hamsters, made his job a lot easier, too.
The muscle hamster. That sounds like a gay porn star.
He hates that nickname, too.
He's
literally said, please
too.
Stop calling me. But apparently he's like 5'8 or something, and he's just outlifting linemen and linebackers in the weight room.
What was that one running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, like Thomas Jones or something like that?
Thomas Jones, who I know where Thomas Jones lives. He lives by a buddy of mine.
Okay, let's give his address out.
Thomas Quinton Jones.
Yeah, Thomas Jones with an ex-Bear.
Remember, he was like known for being insanely shredded.
And so was David Boston. If you remember David Boston, the wide receiver.
Yeah, look at that guy. Just like Reggie Bush on steroids.
Jesus Christ. I mean, some of those guys just had... And Terrell Owens, too. Terrell Owens was always in phenomenal
shape. Let's make some
money,
and you and I just... Seriously, I'm being dead serious here.
I'm listening.
Let's you and I...
Do we have a caller? No, I'm kidding.
Let's make some fucking money and just HGH like motherfuckers.
Wouldn't that be funny? Like, you and I at 50 are just jacked.
Let's just get so shredded.
Veins of steel.
What's yeah. that? Just two shredded drug addicts.
Have anybody? Have any of you guys been watching any of the three of you, Jessica Jones?
No,
seen it?
Not yet. Not
it's
yet.
Great.
What is it?
I've heard it's
good. A new Netflix show. Great. That chick's so hot. And all she does is fuck in this show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, can I say something, dude? Do you watch the first 48? The
of
new
course.
Editor, director this season?
I haven't seen any
is
new season.
Awesome! I want to see murdering
actually,
it.
I saw an episode recently. It's
what's
so
different
good.
About it?
Did you see Murder Man? Mm-mm. Did you see the Murder Man one? It is. Dude, the way they shoot it is a totally different style. And it's almost like a movie, the way it's shot, dude. And it's like, dude, this guy, his name was Murder Man. That's his street name, Murder Man. I'm like, you did it. You did it when you Murder Man.
You did
it. Because it wasn't ironic, you know, like when the fat guy's tiny
right,
and the little
right,
guy's
right,
big
right,
man.
Right, right.
It was straight up, you're a man.
The only
who
other nickname that was available that was Super Guilty. Hey man, we're gonna bring in Super Guilty Johnson on this one. Mm-hmm. I just got a feeling he had something to do with this.
What about I Did It Jax?
Yeah. How about have you seen Badlands?
I love it.
I love
about
Badlands.
I haven't
dude.
Seen the second one yet. I'm gonna watch that tonight.
I haven't seen it. It's a big kung fu, right?
It's all karate.
Awesome, dude. Yeah.
I hope.
Have
I
you
hope,
seen the second one?
Yeah.
How is it?
It's great.
Okay, I'm gonna watch that tonight.
I hope that people it gets a chance.
Oh, I think it will. They're really pushing the shit out of it.
I really love it.
Really
dude.
Good.
I
really
love
good
it.
Story setup. But the Jessica Jones thing is great. It's
what's
like,
it about?
She it's a Marvel Comics new one
oh,
on Netflix.
Really?
And it's after she was briefly in a thing called the New Avengers. She was
okay.
briefly in that. She has powers. She's just like super strong and can jump. Almost
she can
fly.
DP like adjustable asshole.
Quits being a superhero and starts a detective agency. And she is an alcoholic and sex addict.
Oh!
Yeah. And you cannot hurt her, so she's just taking monster poundings.
Really?
Yeah.
Like dicks or punches?
Uh-huh. Well, both. Both.
Let me ask you something, Tebow.
And she's hot, and it's really a cool story.
Dude, she's got a plunger.
I've always wanted to see what would happen if, like, Quentin Tarantino directed, like, a comic book. Like a Marvel. Like, how I would love to see the grit and the grime.
This is pretty gritty.
All right, I'll watch it.
Yeah, it's really good.
I need to get more into Netflix. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, dude. Well, hit me up because all I have is like
Netflix
my computer,
and
Netflix and
that's
shit.
All me and my girl do.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I do. So I pretty much watch
do
every.
Do you guys just Netflix and chill?
Every series on Netflix, if it's original, I've pretty much watched them all. This one's fucking good, dude. And Daredevil it just came out great. Thursday, but pretty soon everyone's going to talk about it.
It's all about Sleepy Hollow, dog.
Daredevil was great. So.
It's
same
just,
guys.
And it takes place in the same city in the same time as Daredevil.
Oh, a Hell's Kitchen?
Do they say Hell's Kitchen every 15 seconds like Daredevil?
Not as much, but her main enemy is one of Daredevil's main enemies throughout this whole thing, where, you know, his was Kingpin and this one is this other guy. But
sounds very Heroes for Hire.
It's it's really good, and it really makes you want to fucking rape. Like, I need a chick. Listen to me. If there's any girl out there that's gone under some gamma radiation and developed some powers, maybe you've been bit by a spider, maybe you were in an accident and you got injected with some sort of thing that turns you into some sort of special powers. If you can take a pounding that most people would say, that would have killed a normal person, hit me up. My phone number is 323-584-2169. Hit me up and let's talk. I would like to try to pound your superpowers right out of your fucking twat hole. My name is Jason Tebow. This has been a special announcement. Oh, my thing's not plugged in.
The views expressed by Jason Tebow are those of Jason Tebow and Jason Tebow only.
We got a call?
Do we have a call?
Hello, you're on with Punch, Drunk, Sports, and Crime. Hello?
Hello, how you doing?
Who is this?
My name is Chad, long-time listener, about four-time caller.
Four-time caller. Welcome to the Four-Time Caller Club. How are you, man?
Thank you.
Hello.
I'm doing pretty good, brother. I just got a few things I'd like to say about your show.
Okay,
one. I'd just like to know, where is that big old Les How come we don't have any nice white fucking quarterbacks in the goddamn league? What the hell has happened to that Ty fucking tranny dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why is Ron such a fucking quitter?
Yeah.
Those are the questions I have for you.
Those
are good questions. Where is the Big Les?
Where's Power Les?
Where's she been?
Dude, I think James has been scaring people off. I think James is a dick on social media and he scares off the biggest fans you guys got.
Oh, interesting. Well, the tranny correspondent calls in all the time. He's always
tweeting.
He hasn't
called in a while.
He just has,
He hasn't called in a long time, and he had the chance to meet you guys like twice, and he never did it.
That is true. He said he walked right by me.
I called
him.
Out.
I go, hey, dude, how's it going? I know who you are. He goes,
you did? Where? At the store?
Yeah. And he just gave me a freak look because somebody found. They followed him on Twitter, and he posted a picture of him with, I think, Bill Burr or...
Diaz or somebody?
Yeah, and he posted, and I saw him. So, yeah.
What's he look like?
He looks like a nerdy white guy with glasses.
Hey, Sammy!
I don't know where Power Les is. Ron hasn't called in...
I like to eat Holly Holm's butt.
It's
Holly Holm, I eat your asshole.
I think three studios ago. It's been a while since he's called in, dude. I don't know.
Ron is a goddamn quitter. I've been watching you guys since, the first time you were in the Frog Studio?
Oh, goddamn,
Chad. Oh, yeah, Toad Hop, the Frog Studio.
James, call in. James, call in. James.
Oh, James.
Call in.
Don't you guys give out the award for what a fuck-up James is usually or something
like that? The annual James fuck-up award?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah. How did James get a part of this podcast?
I think we need to have a new award show. I think it's time.
I think it is time.
And this time we'll have a fucking guy that won't give away the fucking numbers. Fucking
asshole. Oh, yeah. Somebody, there's some shit that James has from the, remember the last raffle we had?
Yeah.
Some guy came up to me in the store. He's like, hey, man, you owe me a fucking Joey Diaz poster and something else. I go, what the fuck are you talking about? And he goes, yeah, man, I'm the guy that won like three things in the raffle and then I never received everything. And all the three things that he won were the things that James had.
James, fucking pay out!
And I was like, oh, I gotta hit up James about that because I don't really remember. I remembered all the three things because it was like two things of Joey Diaz,
Chad,
and something else or something.
Yeah.
Since you,
hey,
called...
I was wondering too. Is Ari just missing in action because he met some new dude and he hasn't left the house for a while?
I love this guy.
Great question. This guy's asking all the hard-hitting questions.
I don't know where Ari said he was shooting something.
Yeah, gay porn.
And
he's
shooting loads on a guy's face.
I think he's getting loads.
This guy's on fire.
Chad is almost call of the year. Chad, because we like you so much, we're going to let you hang up on us.
Oh, no, I've already tried to hang up on you guys before. You know the one guy that I've always waited to see if he'd ever call?
Okay.
He should have took it. He should have took
it. To you, dude.
I'll never hang up on you. I just want to.
He's like, no, guys, I love you. He showed us that vulnerability, and we fucking killed him.
Yep. Do we have a call? Are we done?
Nope. No calls.
Well, guys, it's been a fun episode.
It has been a fun episode.
You always wonder if we're going to have enough to talk about. And we always do.
I never worry about that at all.
Yeah, I mean, we had enough to talk about.
I've never once worried about that.
Our good friend, the Mexican, did a great job, even though he got like 3-year-old videos for
us.
That's fine.
I tried my hardest. TMZ just links it up.
That's all we could ask for. Anything you want to finish up, Tebow?
Just say, go to the fucking website. If you want to write for Punch Drunk, please send an email to writeforpunchdrunk@gmail.com. We'll get you set up to be a correspondent. You can write about whatever you'd like to write about. Click on the Amazon link. Go to punchdrunksports.com. Maybe buy a t-shirt. Help support the show. Go to Caveman Coffee. Use the code punchdrunksports. Go to BetDSI. Use the code punchdrunk. And whatever you do, do not give any money to those fucking scumbags, Fighter and the Kid.
Hey, guys, I just want to wish you all a very, if you're American, I know we got a lot of foreigners, but if you are American, I want to wish you all a very, very happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy hanging out with your family. Enjoy having some tryptophan coma action while you watch some football.
Get drunk, get stoned, enjoy the NFL.
Enjoy your time. Aaron, I want you to have a great time with your family. We'll see you next week for sure, but you're always great. Thanks for coming in. And Tebow, always a pleasure. We're going to go sit in an AA meeting and listen to fucking people bitch about their lives. Frank, enjoy your Mexican turkey burritos that you and your family are going to have.
Yeah, what are you dirtbags do for the holidays?
Yeah, what do you guys say?
Well, I'm the smart Mexican. I fucked a white chick, so I'm going to be going to her family's house at night, and then I'm going to my Mexican family's in the morning.
Do they make you do dishes and shit?
No,
make you valet park their car?
Yeah, do they walk up and hand you their keys on accident?
My family's the maid for that whole family, so it just works out.
That's good.
That's got to be weird to see your mom serving everybody, all the white people.
She does a great job. I just make sure never to make eye contact with her when she's
This has been Punch Drunk Sports. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you guys next week. Take care, everybody. Thanks for all the love and support. Your words mean the world to us. Bye.